Well, good afternoon, everyone. A very beautiful Sabbath. Hard to believe it's so beautiful, and the weather's just wonderful out there for the first week of November. Well, in the Bible study today, we're continuing our series in the book of Malachi. So we're beginning now with chapter 3. You might want to bookmark this particular section as we'll be looking at other scriptures as well. So in verse 1, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." So this first sentence refers to, as we'll see, John the Baptist. Now, a reference scripture to this is in Isaiah 40, verse 3. Basically says the same thing of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And these are both stated over here in Matthew 11. So let's look at Matthew 11, verse 7. Matthew 11, verse 7. "And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, 'What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see?'" And again, we're talking about John the Baptist here. And then in verse 9, "What did you go out to see? A prophet. I say to you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you.'" And so that is the reference back to Malachi chapter 3. So if we want to know who this messenger is, it was Elijah. So that's the first part. In fact, John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, prophesied of his own son in this way. And this is another reference scripture, but Luke 1:76, "And he told, 'You, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. You will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways.'" So that's what John the Baptist did. Now, the messenger of the covenant, we see that in chapter 3 as well. In verse 1, "And the true messenger of the covenant is Jesus Christ." And so he would come the first time preaching the gospel, a message about the kingdom of God, and as he would be as king. And there's another, again, I'm just giving some reference scriptures here, but in Acts 10, verse 36 to 37, it talks about the word that God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. And Jesus preached throughout all Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So Christ came after John the Baptist, but John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus Christ. Talks about coming to his temple, suddenly coming to his temple. And we could look at this as a duality here, because Jesus Christ did suddenly come on the scene and came to the physical temple there the first time he came in his ministry on the earth. But he's going to suddenly come to his second time to the temple. And this time, the temple is a spiritual temple. That's the church. And we know that according to Ephesians 2, verse 21 to 22, the temple is referred to as the church. And so he is coming again, and he's coming to the church. So it's kind of a duality there. And we'll see later in Malachi 4 about an Elijah to come yet before the return of Christ. And we'll discuss that once we get into Malachi 4. Well, let's go back now to Malachi 3, verse 2, because we're talking about the time of Christ's return. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. And so we'll look at this reference scripture, because it's just a few pages back, Zechariah 13, verse 9. Zechariah 13, verse 9. And we see some similarities here about the return of Christ. They'll bring the one-third through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested. And they'll call on my name and I'll answer them. And I'll say, this is my people. So there is coming a time of purification. And God is going to bring about this refining fire. And it'll clean people up. So we now come to verse 3. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. So again, this is all referring to the time Christ returns. And we see that the sons of Levi will also be purified. Now, a refiner's fire removes the dross, and all you have then is the pureness of the gold or the silver. Sons of Levi. So we know that there's coming a time in the future, and we'll see this in Isaiah 1, verse 25. Let's look at Isaiah 1, verse 25. That God is going to once again set up the priesthood during the time of the millennium. We know Jesus Christ is the his priesthood is after that of Melchizedek, and we will all be spirit beings at that time with Jesus Christ, but there is also going to be a physical priesthood. First of all, Isaiah 1 verse 25. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross, something we already read. Verse 26, I will restore your judges as at the first, and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. That's again referring to the time of Jerusalem when it will be faithful. Now let's go further to Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel 44. Verse 10, and the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray, who strayed away from me after their idols, they shall bear their iniquity. Yet they will be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they'll stand before them to minister to them. So the rest of the chapter here in Ezekiel refers to what the Levites will be doing in the millennium, offering sacrifices and helping to serve the priests who will be of the sons of Zadok. It's fascinating to read through and see what will occur. Well, what Jesus Christ is going to do is when he comes back, he's going to purify the sons of Levi so that they can do this job, which means that he knows that there are sons of Levi somewhere. Physical lineage, all the way back to Levi. And he is going to purify them so they could serve there in the millennium. All right, then we find what will happen with the sacrifices and the offering. Verse 4 of Malachi 3. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. Because it had not been. Even right before Israel went into captivity, it had not been. And it had not been either before the Romans took over the Jerusalem in 70 AD. So it will be pleasant. And I'll come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, against those who turn away an alien, should be a stranger, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. So God is also going to be a swift witness against those who sinned against him and who do not fear the Lord God. Let me give you another reference scripture. In Micah 5 and verse 12, it says, I will cut off sorceries from your land, and you will have no soothsayers. So that's going to occur when the perjurers and the sorcerers are all going to be removed from the land. Now let's look at James 5 in this context here. James 5, beginning in verse 3. James 5, verse 3. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will be a witness against you, and you will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. God is going to exact vengeance on those who have taken advantage of the poor and have taken advantage of all the widows and the orphans and even exploited the wage earners. So God does not appreciate what has been done to those who are weaker and the poor. And that's a conduct that he has observed in Israel. He observed that in the past, and he's observing it even now. He hates lying. He hates perjury. He hates sorcery. And as a judge, he is going to come back and expose all of that and those who were involved in these principles. And he will expel them from the land, and no more will that occur. Let's go back and see a little bit more of this in Zechariah 5. Zechariah 5. It is interesting when you look at some of these prophecies in these books like Malachi, you could find similar statements in the different other books of the Bible as well. And it proves this continuity through the scriptures of what God says. So Zechariah 5, verse 3 and 4. Zechariah 5, verse 3 and 4. This is the curse that goes out over the face of the earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. So thieves and perjurers and liars will be expelled. And I'll send out the curse, says the Lord, and it'll enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. And it will remain in the midst of his house. It'll consume it with the timber and the stones. So anyone who's unrepentant and anyone who disagrees with God and his judgments won't even be allowed to enter Israel. And you see a little bit of this over here in Ezekiel 20. So now let's look at Ezekiel 20, beginning in verse 37. Ezekiel 20, verse 37. Actually, you see earlier, he's going to bring Verse 35, I'll bring you into the wilderness of the peoples. I'll plead my case with you as I pleaded with your fathers. I'll plead my case with you. So in verse 37, I will make you pass under the rod. So all of them will go under the rod. Remember, he's coming and rule with a rod of iron. So they'll all come under. And I will bring you into this bond of the covenant. And I will purge the rebels from among you. And those who transgress against me, I will bring them out of the country where they dwell, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. And they'll know that I am the Lord. So there's going to be a sorting out process as people are coming out of these countries. And before they go into the land of Israel, God's going to remove those who are not repentant. Or at least they're going to stay in the wilderness area a while before they could even come in to the promised land. This is all at the beginning of the millennium. Because God is not going to tolerate, like it says, sorcery or thievery or lying in the nation. And he's going to deal with people ahead of time. Notice verse 40. And again, it's going to take time for this to occur, for all people to begin to follow God, because it's a time, the millennium is a time, 1,000 years, but there is going to be a physical people there. We will be the ones who are spirit and help and encourage these physical people to obey God. And then it goes on to say, on my holy mountain, the mountain height of Israel, says the Lord, there all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, will serve me, and I'll accept them, and I'll require your offerings and the first fruits of your sacrifices together with your holy things. I'll accept you as a sweet aroma when I bring you out from the peoples, gather you out of the countries where you've been scattered. Now, be hallowed in you before the Gentiles, and you will know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I raised up my hand in an oath to give to your fathers. These are fascinating things that we see developing, will occur, and how God is going to work with Israel, because God wants all of them back into the land of promise. And we see that all is tied in to what we saw earlier about purging these people who were adulterers and perjurers and exploiting the wage earners and taking advantage of the orphans and even the strangers. And that's something to think about. Are we taking advantage in this country of those who come into the land? Well, God sees all that's going on. So now we come back to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. And we see in verse 6. Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. So God does not change. If God changed, there would be nothing left of Israel. But because God is a God of mercy, he has not destroyed all of Israel, even though they've gone against him. And you see a tie-in scripture over here in Jeremiah 30. Let's look at Jeremiah 30 and verse 11. Jeremiah 30, verse 11. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all the nations where I've scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you. But I'll correct you in justice, and will not let you go altogether unpunished. So God is a God of mercy. Yes, he brings about punishment for disobedience, but when there is repentance, he's always merciful and has always been merciful to God. reference scripture to the fact that God is the same. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now we get into a very interesting discussion that God is, as we talked about Malachi 1 and 2, how this is written with like questions and answers, and how God inspires Malachi to write a question. And so in verse 7, "Yet from the days of your youth you have gone away from my ordinances. You've not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you." That's all you have to do. Return. I will return to you if you would just, you know, return to me. So of course, they're not doing it at all at this point. Now, here's the question that God is posing, that they would say to him, "In what way shall we return? How do we return to you? Return to me, but you say, in what way?" So even though Israel had a habit in going away from God, we see now that this is something that he's asking them, or he's putting in Malachi's mind to ask this question, in what way? Before we get into that answer, let's look at Zechariah 1. Zechariah 1. And in verse 3 to 6. Zechariah 1, verse 3 to 6. "Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, and I'll return to you. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Lord God of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not heed nor hear nor heed me. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Surely my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers?" In other words, what survived? What survived were God's laws, not their fathers. The self-righteous Israelites, they had this idea that, well, Abraham's my father. I don't need anything else. And they blinded themselves to the fact that I could still receive God's promises because we're of Abraham. We are of Abraham. Even today, people think of themselves as pretty good. I'm a pretty good Christian. But they don't really see how they are truly disobeying God's laws. God's laws. So God poses this question: in what way shall we return? If, you know, without... I know we've already read verse 8 and 9, you know, we've read that so many times, but what would we want people to do? Now see, for many, many years, I mean, God spoke through the prophets. What did the prophets warn Israel of doing that they needed to stop? He warned them against idolatry, and he warned them against Sabbath breaking. That's the emphasis of what they were doing. Getting into idolatry time and time again. Polluting the Sabbath. And so this is a unique answer that God gives. Something that's not even in the Ten Commandments. You don't find "you shall tithe" anywhere in the Ten Commandments. I mean, coveting and stealing, yeah, that's there. So God asks the question, will a man rob God? What? And then God says, you've robbed me. And you say, well, in what way have we robbed you? And God says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You've robbed me, even this whole nation. So bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. One way they had turned from God is they had not been tithing. And the whole nation was cursed because of non-tithing. And God says, bring these tithes to the storehouse. Notice, let's keep our place again. Let's look at Proverbs 3, verse 9. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. And what we're told here that Solomon wrote, Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. And it's kind of reminiscent what God is saying, I will bless you. As it says in verse 10, let's look at Malachi 3 now, verse 11 to 12. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. And the vine, nor will the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. All nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So these are more prophecies. Let me just give you another reference scripture you could write down. This is Isaiah 62, verse 4. You will no longer be termed forsaken. Your land shall be called Hephzibah, because the Lord delights in you. And so these are prophecies of what God would do if Israel would tithe. These are promised blessings in the law, for keeping God's commandments and statutes, and that includes the tithing and the giving of offerings. So, with that in mind then, let's look at Leviticus 26, Leviticus 26, verse 3. Leviticus 26, verse 3. If you walk in my statutes, and you keep my commandments and perform them, and I'll give you rain in its season. The land will yield its produce. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage. The vintage shall last till the time of sowing. Kind of like the sower overtaking the reaper there in Amos. And I'll give peace in the land, and you'll lie down, and none will make you afraid. And these are promised blessings for those who are willing to keep the commandments of God. And the command that we see that is emphasized in Malachi, of all commandments, is that of tithing. It's an interesting thought to consider. Why that commandment? Why that statute was emphasized when he had mentioned through the prophets all about idolatry and Sabbath breaking, which they were doing, but this one was being neglected. So we do see that according to Malachi, tithing is important to God. Now verse 13 gets into a different subject and a different topic. So that's what we will do next time, when we will finish out chapter 3 and hopefully also finish out with chapter 4 the next time we have a Bible study.